Now, there's a reason they call it junk food, but it's not just chips and cookies in your diet. It could cause problems way beyond your weight. New research is linking ultra-processed foods to depression. Let's get some clarity on that and more about how our diet affects all areas of our well-being. So we bring in one of my favorite experts on these types of issues, Dr. Michelle Perlman, triple board certified in internal medicine, gastroenterology, and obesity medicine. She is CEO and co-founder at Prime Institute in Fort Lauderdale, and you can follow her on Twitter at M. Perlman, MD. Morning, Doc. Good to talk to you again.
Manny, it's always so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Is there a definition on what ultra-processed food is?
So this study really kind of stated it was over five ingredients, which I think is a good way to start. But it also has more to do with the number of ingredients. It's also the types of ingredients that are incredibly important when it comes to how they affect our body.
So this research, big study, 31,000, I guess we could call them middle-aged women, that found that those who consumed 9 servings of ultra-processed foods each day were more likely to develop depression than those who consumed no more than 4 servings. First of all, 9 servings of anything sounds like a lot. Quite frankly, 4 servings sounds like a lot. But what was your reaction to reading the research?
Well, 9 servings sounds like a lot, but in reality, the amount of food that people eat is really a bit ridiculous, in that when we go out to eat, we often think that one plate or one bowl of something is one serving, and that's actually not the case. So if you go out to eat, you may actually be having 4 servings of a ultra-processed food. And so if you think about it throughout the day, if people are eating out a couple times a day or having, let's say, a protein bar that has 20 ingredients, that adds up very quickly.
Interesting. So is there a difference, just to be clear, is there a difference between an ultra-processed food and a processed food?
I think it just depends on who you're talking to. And if there's, I'm not sure there's actually a clear definition on the number of ingredients. When I look at it, if I can look at a food and I can't identify where it came from, to me that means it's ultra processed. If the ingredients label is so small and I can't pronounce many of the molecules, that's ultra processed.
Yeah, and it feels like all of these foods, especially the ones filled with you know, even worse, like junk for you, they seem to be much more available to us in the United States than, for example, in Europe. You don't see the same kind of stuff, even in just the regular foods that we eat every day over there, that you do here.
Gosh, it's really incredible. There are a lot of ingredients that are banned elsewhere that are on the shelves, even on the diet food aisle, where we think that's where the healthier products are. And there was an interesting quote in the article that mentioned diet, like dye. A lot of these quote-unquote health food products are sometimes worse than the alternative, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, back to the research, is that this was a study, not a clinical trial, right? And scientifically, technically, that's a big difference.
It is. And I think a big part, one of the reasons why nutrition research is very difficult, is because a lot of it is based on these food frequency questionnaires. Mm. So if you ask someone, what do you eat on a typical day every couple of years, you're assuming that the person is mindful of everything they're eating and understands the ingredients that they're eating. And oftentimes that's not so true. You ask me what I ate, you know, what I ate yesterday, and oftentimes people are not going to be able to give you that answer. So the dietary recall studies, it's hard to really draw solid conclusions.
Speaking with Dr. Michelle Perlman, she's CEO and co-founder at Prime Institute in Fort Lauderdale. Also important to note, Doc, and I think you and I have discussed this in the past, there's plenty of research finding that there's a correlation between a healthier diet, not just obviously physical health, but better moods and mental health.
Oh, absolutely. You know, our gut, Manny, is the largest immune organ. So it makes sense that what we feed our gut on a day-to-day basis has an immediate impact on how we feel. It's called the gut-brain axis. Mm-hmm. So when people say, listen, doc, it's all in my head, I must be crazy, In the reality, it is all in our head, but that doesn't mean we're crazy. What it means is that when we eat, hormones are released from our gut. It changes our microbiome. Those neurotransmitters are sent back to our brain and affects how we feel. So the gut-brain axis is so critical and really ties down to the ingredients.
Right, and that's partially why these junk foods are so addictive, right? We get these sugar highs, and then they've got chemicals in them that make us want, you know, more. That's why we can't stop drinking Coke or eating potato chips or cookies, right?
Absolutely. Food manufacturers are very smart, and they know what is addictive. And so it's literally like sprinkling crack cocaine in our food. It gets us hooked. And it's not that we are weak. It's that the foods are overcoming our normal sensors. And so the food is so sweet that it gets us hooked. And that's all we think about. We are constantly craving high fructose corn syrup and tons of salt.
Talk a little bit more about what you were just talking about, because science has found more and more over the last few years that it does, that how important our gut health is. And it all relates to inflammation and everything else, right? Explain how that works.
Everything comes down to inflammation. What brings people into my office is they say, "Doc, I want to lose weight." But in reality, they want to feel better. They want to sleep better. They want less stress. They want to be in a better mood. Yeah, they want to look good naked, but there's so many other factors that they want to improve upon when it comes to important quality of life measures. And when it comes to inflammation, extra fat cells are pro-inflammatory, and foods can be pro-inflammatory. Processed meats and high fructose corn syrup. And so at an immediate level, at a cellular level, when we feed our body, let's say, candy, that increases our inflammation, and it can increase risk of all sorts of cancers. Obesity is linked to 13 different types of cancer, and we have all these autoimmune conditions. So Manny, as a gastroenterologist, I thought of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. Mm-hmm. I actually saw quite a bit of metastatic colorectal cancer in 20-year-olds without a genetic predisposition. So clearly, far beyond just our mood, the foods that we eat can either improve our health or cause disease. And that's a critical point.
Yeah, and that's been one of the big stories over the last few years, is they're seeing this increase in colorectal cancer in people in their 20s, and the correlation to diet is unmistakable. Last thing for you. I once had an acupuncturist tell me that broccoli was the best thing that I could put in my body. What do you think is the best single food you could put in your body?
If it were only that easy, then I wouldn't have job security. So in reality, it's far more challenging, because what is quote unquote healthy for one may not be healthy for another. It has really less to do with nutrient density, but how our body reacts to food. And I'm actually working on a mobile application, a platform called BiteMD, where it takes into that exact premise, where what we eat when we're 20 may not be what we can eat when we're 30, 40, and 50 and still feel well. So it's understanding that as our body changes, as we are very dynamic people, that our nutrition has to change just like that.
And answers like that are the reason I always come back to you for these types of issues. Dr. Michelle Perlman, triple board certified in internal medicine, gastroenterology, obesity medicine. She is CEO and co-founder at Prime Institute in Fort Lauderdale. And again, you can watch all her videos, follow her on Twitter at MPerlman, MD. Doc, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for making the time. Be well.
Okay. Bye-bye, Manny.